The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
All right, good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, and I'm Sean Sierra. Yes, indeed, we are live and local here in our little radio studio this morning. Oh, my goodness, winter has had its revenge on us. It's April 4th, and I'm looking out the window, and I'm seeing some increasing snow out there, and that's going to be the story of the day. Apparently, we're going to get continued snow here in the morning, and then just some snow showers in the afternoon, kind of winding down, I guess, by the end of the day. My goodness, though, you don't expect that on April 4th. Let's do a couple of quick updates if you haven't heard, and if you haven't been outside yet and on the roads. There is a couple of inches of icy sleet and some wet snow out there. The city of Pittsfield's expecting 1 to 2 more inches for the rest of the morning. Highway crews and contractors are continuing to work to clear and treat the roads, and they ask for your patience as they work their way through the neighborhood roads. Those are the ones right now that are probably a little bit more impacted than the big roads, as you might expect. There are still a few power outages impacting about 10 to 20 households as Eversource works to restore those services. And if you haven't heard, trash and recycling in the city of Pittsfield is canceled for today, and then it'll be shifted Thursday and Friday. Routes are on a one-day delay. So if you were normally getting your trash picked up today, it'll be picked up tomorrow, and Friday will be picked up the next day. So that's one thing. And then, of course, you already know this, I'm sure, but schools are canceled today in the Pittsfield Public Schools. No school today, April 4th, 2024. So, wow. I guess we didn't see that coming. Some people did, but, there's always one. There's always one big storm that gets us before winter leaves its grip on us, and I think that's what we're seeing today. All right, well, let's take an official listen to the National Weather Service forecast right now before we get on to our guests. We have some wonderful guests that showed up here in the middle of the snowstorm anyway, and we appreciate that. Folks from UCP Assisted Technology, and we're going to be talking about the eclipse, and in a way that you might not think that you might be thinking about the eclipse that's happening on Monday. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Here's the weather. Berkshire
weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. High wind warning in effect until 10 a.m. EDT this morning. Winter storm warning in effect until 6 a.m. EDT Friday. Today, snow. Total snow accumulation of 6 to 10 inches. Windy. Near steady temperature in the lower 30s. East wind 25 to 30 miles per hour with gusts up to 55 miles per hour. Becoming northeast 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 35 miles per hour this afternoon. Chance of snow near 100%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Yeah, it's interesting, those winds they're talking about. I'm not seeing that this morning. It's just kind of a steady snow, to be sure. But the winds yesterday and last night, wow, that was also something, wasn't it? We had quite a bit. And, of course, the big internet apocalypse that we had in the city of Pittsfield and South County. I guess North County managed to miss that yesterday. But if you were a Spectrum internet customer yesterday, you were kind of out of luck. Cable TV, too, it was all gone from about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon all the way until about 10 o'clock at night. So we got knocked back into the 20th century there for a little while. But it was finally restored, and everybody was happy, and hopefully you got a chance to play some board games and watch some DVDs and some offline entertainment if you were able to do that. A little refreshing, actually, a little different to be able to do that. All right. Well, welcome to the show again. It's Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM. I'm Sean Sayre, and joining me here in the studio today is Iris Long. So good morning, Iris. Oh, I have the wrong camera there. How are you? Thanks
good
for
morning.
Being here this morning.
Yeah, thank you.
So, Iris, you are the director of ATRC and technical support at UCP of Western Mass, United Cerebral Palsy of Western Massachusetts.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us how you got to the position that you're at, a little bit about your background, where you're from, and we'll go from there.
Okay, so my name is Iris Long, and I am the director of the Assistive Technology Regional Center, which we run out of UCP of Western Mass. I have been in this position for about a year now. I'm pretty new to the area. I recently moved here from Indiana, so this Massachusetts weather is a little different than mine.
A little bit, huh?
I'll
bet you get some good storms in Indiana, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just all hilly here. It's less flat.
That's true.
So, so I do the Assistive Technology Center where we operate a whole center where people can come in and out and loan assistive technologies.
Okay.
So this is open to any Massachusetts resident where they can come in, and we have a bunch of different devices that can help with low vision, hearing, speech, communication, mobility, some of those other things. Mm-hmm. So we have technology that...
So this is right here, if people don't know, in Pittsfield, serving all of Berkshire County. And you said Massachusetts residents. How many people do you get from, say, outside of the immediate Berkshire County region looking for assistive technology?
We actually get quite a bit. We have people from Springfield, Greenfield that need technology, and we can even go out there and deliver, depending on the situation. But we service everyone. And the other two centers that we that are part of the program are in Worcester and Boston. Mm-hmm. So we're the only center on this side of the state that can service everyone west of Worcester.
Wow. So, and let's talk about some of the other devices and things that people ask for and that are useful to them, because I know we're going to get to sort of the focus of today, which is the eclipse. And follow me, folks, because you may not understand how we're getting from here to there, but we are going to be talking about the eclipse, which is happening on Monday. We're not going to get a full totality here in Berkshire County, but we will see quite an impact of the eclipse when it comes through. But tell us about some of the things that people look for assistive technology, what it helps them with, and how it changes their lives.
Yeah, so I would say I would just start with our vision tools, because those are one of our most popular, just for people who are slowly losing their vision. we have magnifiers, we have CCTVs, which allow intense magnification, and you can show that on yourself or like outside. So, for example, I've had someone who had low vision and they used a CCTV, and instead of using it for what I've seen was like reading the newspaper or something, they pointed the camera outside and they could start bird watching, which they haven't been able to do in years.
Wow.
So we do
magnifiers. So this is basically a television and a camera with a pretty powerful lens. Is that what I'm imagining?
Mm-hmm. And so people can view what they see on screen and they can point the magnifier wherever they want to look at things. So we have a bunch of those. We have magnifiers that also read back to you.
So talk about that. How is it that they read back to you? Because this must be fairly new technology in a lot of ways, right? I can't imagine that 20 years ago this would have been available to a lot of people.
No, the assistive technology is booming right now, and it's getting more complex by the day. Basically it is text-to-speech software, and it's called OCR, Orbital Character Readers. And our recognition, and what it's able to do is take a picture of a document, use a type of AI to understand the words and read it back to you. So we have a bunch of devices that can do that, and it's really helpful for people who either can't see or just need that spoken word back to them.
And how's the quality of that? Because I know a lot of people, when they hear of text to speech, a lot of people think of Stephen Hawking, for example, right? And actually, he's someone, from what I understand, who had the ability of sort of upgrading the quality of the voice that he used, but he felt after a while that was his voice, that when he couldn't speak after having, I think it was ALS, and so basically he kept the old school, very early computerized voice because he felt like that was part of his identity. But some of the voice, the text-to-speech has gotten, again, a lot better, right?
Yes. And what Stephen Hawking used was an AAC device. So it's a augmentative and alternative communication device. Huh. So we have some of those. They're usually programmed into iPads now.
Okay.
So there's different apps that you can download, and we have a bunch of those apps that people can try out. But there is, they have come a long way with especially voices. Hmm. So it's more human-like, but there are some fun ones that you can still do.
Yeah.
Robot voices, and some people do still like that. Yeah.
Well, people still hear the weather forecast here on WTVR, which is, again, an much earlier text to voice. Mm-hmm. And we've still got that running. I think people kind of got used to the way that sounds also. So that was an innovative program that was put together by a previous station engineer. And, you know, I think it was pretty innovative for its time, and it still works for us here to do the kind of job, you know, that needs to get done for a small radio station like this. Talk about some of the other technology.
Some of my other favorite technology is some of the activities of daily living stuff. Mm-hmm. So we have kind of a wide range of devices. So we have very low tech things like weighted silverware that would help if someone has tremors. Oh. They just weigh their hand down so they can eat a little bit easier.
Huh.
And then we have things like a Obi robot, which is a self-feeding robot where you just have to push a button and a spoon will come up to your mouth.
Wow.
And you will take a bite. So we have devices can range from very expensive to really cheap or really simple devices. So that's kind of what we do is we just show people what's out there.
Yeah.
And see what kind of options there are to do certain things. So eating, bathing, grooming, those are really popular too,
depending on the kind of help that a person might require. Tell me then also, obviously there are some things, as you said, that I think the silverware is probably on the less expensive side, and the feeding robot is probably a little bit more expensive, right?
Yes.
How do things like that get funded, get paid for? Can people afford them when they ask for these things? How does that work?
So that's kind of why our program exists, the ATRC, is because some of these devices, like the Obi robot, can go from $8,000 to $10,000, and sometimes insurance won't cover that.
Mm.
So what we do is we show people, we can demo it, we can let people loan it out for 30 days, and they can trial it in their home before they make that big decision of spending $10,000 on a device that they may not even enjoy using.
Yeah.
So once we do that process with people, they come in, we loan them devices that we think might help them. We talk to them, get their feedback, see if another device may work. If they like the one that they are using, that's when we go into funding sources with the government or insurances to find funding for it.
Yeah, and I'll bet that's a very complex procedure, right? That probably not the easiest thing to navigate. And is there also some help to navigate some of those processes as well for people that are sort of uninitiated about, oh, okay, I need this, my family needs this, how do we get there?
That's definitely where just contacting UCP, contacting me, where we can start that process, because a lot of people don't know where to start. And it's a lot, it's overwhelming, and there's, you know, they need help with certain things. So trying to research all that on your own and trying to go through the process when someone or organization like UCP can help you go through that process.
Yeah. No, I can imagine, and it's great to know that the resources are there to find and to get that help. So we're speaking with Iris Long this morning. She is the director of ATRC and technical support at UCP of Western Massachusetts. And remind us again, ATRC is?
The Assistive Technology Regional Center.
Assistive Technology Regional Center. So, again, these are technologies that are available to, I think you said, any resident of Massachusetts, but UCP of Western Mass really serves this western side of certainly in Berkshire County and into the Pioneer Valley, it sounds like, as well.
Yep.
Yeah. So we came here to talk about the eclipse. So we sort of set the stage there a little bit. and talked about some assistive technology. Maybe we'll get to back to some of that in the second part of the show. But let's talk about the eclipse. So there, people are, if you haven't heard, it's everywhere, right? People are talking about the total solar eclipse that's happening on Monday. I think it's in the afternoon, 2:30, 3:30, somewhere in that range. I'll probably miss it. No, I won't look at it directly, I promise. So at that time, lots of people are going to be, hopefully safely, putting on some safety glasses and checking out the eclipse. But there are folks that normally wouldn't be able to see this event at all. And UCP of Western Mass has a solution for that. And it's very interesting. So talk about that.
Yeah. So we were lucky enough to receive a device called the Light Sound. And what it is a sonification tool that Harvard developed.
Okay.
And they were able to develop this in 2017 for the solar eclipse. And then they started making more.
So they knew this was coming, right?
Yeah. So solar eclipses, they happen all over the world. It's not a super rare event. We'll probably get another one in 20 years. But it's really special when you're getting so close to totality. And that's why this one's really special, is because so many states are getting that totality. And we're really close. I mean, we're 90, I think, getting around there. We'll still see the shadows and stuff like that. But what happens when you can't see those shadows?
Right.
You can't look through the glasses. And so that's where the light sound comes in, as it turns the light intensity into sound. So what this device will be able to do is, when you put it outside during the eclipse, we'll have it on, and as the moon eclipses the sun, it will do different tones signaling the dimming of the light. And then once it gets to totality, it'll simulate that clicking, or it will do a clicking noise, and it simulates the eeriness of the eclipse.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, when you're in that totality and everything's dark and it gets kind of quiet and eerie, that's kind of what it's supposed to simulate for them. And then once the moon starts moving again, it'll start rising back up and you'll get the tones back. So it sounds more like a clarinet and flute when the sun's out.
Wow. And so for the folks that are going to be experiencing this, and so you're doing it, I've got the poster right here, so I'll just read this for the benefit of our radio listeners. It says, listen to the eclipse. Experience the solar eclipse through sound with assistive technology called the Light Sound. And this is what Iris just explained to us. It's a tool created for the blind and low vision community to experience the eclipse by sound. And it's going to be Monday, April 8th, 2024, outside in front of the Clock Tower Business Center at 75 South Church Street in Pittsfield. All right. So this is an event you're doing outside of the building, right?
Yes.
This is one device that you have here. Is this going to happen in other places too?
Yes. So Light Sound actually has a website. If anyone's interested, they have all of the devices that they sent out, which they sent out over 950, I believe, devices all across the North America. So we were lucky enough to get one before it skyrocketed into popularity.
Yeah.
So we were lucky enough to get one, and so that's why we want to do a public event and allow everyone to come. Especially our low vision blind community, so they can experience the eclipse with this device that we are so lucky to have.
Sounds like a fun way actually to experience this, even if you're not you know, a low sight community, right? You can come to this event if you'd like to and experience this as well. But are you going to do a little demonstration for us here on the radio this morning?
Let me show you how this works.
Okay.
This is our light sound device. Let's see.
There it is.
So it's got Braille up here, and it's a pretty simple device. It's been 3D printed, and they made these in workshops at Harvard. So these were community-made devices so that everybody could have one. So we have the light sound and then the power, and then this is where the sensor is. So this is the light sensor in the back.
So it's a pretty small device, actually.
It's pretty and small, pretty simple.
It looks like, if I will, I'll just use the old term. It looks like about the size of a Walkman, if anybody remembers what that is, right? Nobody in the room remembers. Come on. Walkman, please. All right, see? All right, we got that.
So
So all right. So and it looks like it has a little headphone output, right? That's what you've plugged
you
in there.
You can plug in any aux cord or headphones, and then we have the sensor on the back. So this is what you point towards the sun. You want to put it face down and then facing the sun.
Okay.
So
and pull your mic over there a little higher so we can hear you. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Great.
Okay. So gonna turn this on. So what you'll hear at the beginning, I have a little stick that's going to represent the moon eclipsing the sun or the light in our office here. So let me turn this on, and you're going to hear the clarinet for. So usually it's going to be a flute when it's really high, like outside. It will be high intense light, so it'll be a flute. But right now we're inside, it's a clarinet.
Right.
But as I move the. I'll move it up here. As I move this moon over the sensor, this is going to replicate the eclipse. And as I move over, it changes.
And there's that clicking sound you were
saying. There's that clicking, so that'll stay for the totality portion. And then once we start getting a little lighter, it'll start coming back.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
So this is primarily used for the eclipse, but there are some other people are thinking about doing other uses for this, figuring out. I know there's ways to listen to, like, galaxy pictures through sonification. They've been doing a lot of science with sonification and turning data into sound. So that's just the basic tool of it, is just turning that light intensity into a sound for people.
And it sounds to me like using the other senses is really important, right? When you lose a sense like sight, to be able to turn that into something else, to still experience something as momentous as an eclipse in other terms, that's kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah, so this really gives, you know, people the ability to really experience that solar eclipse and feel the eeriness, because I know when I watched the solar eclipse in 2017, it was a really cool experience. And just turning that into sound, I'm really excited for Monday to really see how it works with the eclipse, because I think it'll just be it'll add to the experience. Even if you can see the eclipse, it'll just add such a big part of it.
And how's the weather looking for Monday? Are we in good shape for seeing this, or?
I think we are. I think we're getting all the bad weather out today and tomorrow, hopefully.
Can you imagine if it was today?
Yeah.
I'm looking outside right now and it's still snowing out there. I'm like, wow. And we were all, you know, geared up for this eclipse. But I was hearing 60 degrees and at least partly sunny, right?
Yeah, so that's what we're hoping for. And even if it's only partly sunny, there's I've been playing with this on cloudy days. Mm. And even just hearing the sun move past clouds, or clouds move past the sun, it's really a cool experience just to listen to how weather is changing with sound. Yeah. So
how many folks from the area do you think will be coming and experiencing this with you on Monday?
We've gotten a lot of people requesting. I'm thinking maybe 45-50 people. Those are the people who have RSVP'd. But again, this is open to the public. Anyone can come. We'll have the light sound on a speaker. And then we'll have a limited supply of sunglasses just for people to share for seeing folks that want to experience the eclipse that way too.
Yep. And, obviously it goes without saying, but we'll say it anyway. Please don't look directly at the sun during the eclipse. It'll probably be tempting to do so, but make sure you get at least some form of protection. I think there's lots of stores selling fairly inexpensive protection, some glasses. I don't think plain old sunglasses will work, right? Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so the intensity of the sun is just way more than sunglasses will provide. So if you are getting eclipse glasses, especially off of Amazon, there's been some ones that haven't been safe sold. So if you do get eclipse glasses, just make sure that you wear them and look at any bright light like shine a flashlight in your eyes, and if you can't see it, then it's perfect. You should not be able to see any light through those glasses.
Any normal light.
Any
that you
normal
might
light.
Have
yeah.
Around. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you
because
look
the
at the sun,
is so intense, right?
Yeah. That, it will show through.
It'll show just mm-hmm. just enough so that your eyes will be able to appreciate it, but not enough to burn your retinas out. Essentially.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We don't want that. So make sure that you be safe there on Monday. And maybe come to this event. This sounds like it'll be fun. So again, it's Monday, April 8th, next Monday, out in front of the Clock Tower Business Center. Is this going to be sort of like right there near the parking lot? I know the Clock Tower Center, so is that where everyone will be congregating to do this?
Yeah, so there's a main level where you walk in, and there's a bottom level. There used to be a restaurant down there. We're going to this bottom level. We'll have tables and chairs out for people to sit, and then we'll have everything set up for people to look at and play with for in the meantime, because we'll be showing off our ATRC as well.
Hmm. And it sounds, too, like this will be kind of a cool social event as well, right? And maybe talk about that a little bit, because I know you're in the assistive technology area, but there are social and emotional connections made for people like that require some of the assistive technology that you provide. How important are some of those connections for people?
I think it's just so important to make all events inclusive for people, especially large events. I just know seeing technology help people and help them do things that they want to do, like paint or birdwatch, any of this technology just creates an amount of inclusion, freedom, acceptance. So that's what's really key to me about assistive technology and getting it to people, is just giving them that hope that they can do something that they want to do and they thought was impossible.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the biggest challenges that that folks with limited sight have? And, you know, there are other areas that we could talk about as well, but especially in that area. And I think it seems like things have come a long way, but it's still, I would imagine, a very difficult thing not having your sight and trying to make your way in the world where everyone expects that you have sight. What mm-hmm. are some of the biggest challenges that people face?
It definitely depends on how much vision they've lost, but it really... It affects their lives in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
So
you kind of talked about for a moment there, sort of daily living, right? Normal things that you have to do, and for limited sight people, that it may not be as impactful as people that have issues with motion or mobility, mm-hmm. things like that, right? But it's still very impactful.
Mm-hmm. So we have things that are very simple, like bump dots that you can just put on like washer and dryer so you know what setting to always use. There's things like washable labels that you can add to clothes, and you can speak into the labels and have them auto record and stick things on different things. So
really?
For example, we have it's called a pin read or a pin reader. And what it does is you put a sticker on, let's say, a medication bottle, and then you can have someone record what the instructions are, and then every time the person touches the pen to the bottle, it'll give them all the instructions, what it is, so they don't have to read the bottle or the medication.
Wow.
So there's things like that that just make it easier, mm-hmm. That you don't have to go find your glasses or your magnifier, you can just tap it. There's also things we have, such as the WeWalk Smart Cane, which is a smart cane that has integrated with like Google Maps and things. So it can connect to your phone, so you don't have to have your hand on your cane and through your phone and try to navigate. It allows you to just do that seamlessly with one hand, so you have one hand free in case, have a coffee in your hand.
That kind of reminds me of the interaction that people might have between like their watch and their phone, right? Where mm-hmm. you're doing things with the watch because you can interact with that, but the phone is somewhere else. And so this sounds like, again, you have limited number of hands. You've got to navigate, maybe cross a street, get, mm-hmm. from place to place. And so that's those two devices are communicating. What does the cane do?
So it's called a WeWalk cane, smart cane, and it just vibrates when you're close to something. So it works like a normal cane like that. But it also has a smart touchpad that you can control and put in different gestures. So you can put in favorites like go to the coffee shop, and you can just swipe really quick, leave your house, go to the coffee shop, and it'll give you directions.
No kidding.
And it can connect to like a Bluetooth headpiece, so or headphones.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of do all of this without having your phone right next to your ear, and you can just use the cane, and the cane will give you directions instead of your phone.
Wow. Just fantastic stuff that didn't exist just a few years ago, right? And it's sounds like it's really exploding. It's wonderful assistive technology. We're speaking with Iris Long here. She is the director of assistive technology. What's the R?
Regional Center.
Regional Center. Yes. Thank you. At UCP of Western Mass. I'll get that eventually. I got to stop myself from writing down acronyms because if I just write it out, I'm all better. And we're on Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM. We braved the snowstorm so you could listen to us this morning, and we hope you do appreciate that. We're going to take that top of the hour break that we always take. We have reached the 8 o'clock hour here on our program, and we'll thank our underwriters and do our station ID and all kinds of good stuff like that. And we'll come back with Iris and talk more about assistive technology here on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Stick around. We'll be right back after this.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Now, there is one final message for you to transmit to Earth. It is the most important message you have ever sent. I want you to keep repeating it as many times as possible.
89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal, opportunity grows here. With locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from Evco Hypnosis. Want to lose weight, quit smoking, sleep better, or relieve stress and anxiety? Evco Hypnosis is here to help you become happier, healthier, and stronger. Call 413-212-0283 or go to evcohypnosis.com. That's EVCOhypnosis.com.
Wonder what happened to those great local PC TV channels? Did you lose them? No worries, they're still there. Go to cable channels 1301, 1302, and 1303 to watch the best local content on television. News and information, sports and entertainment, city council, school committee, July 4th parade, it's all there waiting for you. Pittsfield Community Television. For over 30 years, we are still your local television.
What would it be like not having PCTV's reliable coverage of our Pittsfield City meetings? Well, the answer is it would be like driving in the darkness without headlights. We need the light to show us exactly what's coming our way. PCTV's coverage is that light. It's so reliable and dependable we don't even think about not having it, but nothing can be taken for granted. Support this building block of democracy today. It's too important to lose, especially now. Pittsfield Community Television, see it all, decide for yourself.
You like hard rock and heavy metal music?
Yeah!
Well, then join me here Friday nights from 8 to 10 for Wounded Radio. Every Friday night, I play 2 hours of the best music on the planet, from AC/DC to ZZ Top and everything in between.
This is gonna be cool.
Want to hear a song on Wounded Radio? Request it on the Wounded Radio Facebook page. And join me here Friday nights at 8 for Wounded Radio.
Yeah!
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And from Tim's Lawn Care, it's almost time for spring cleanups. Tim's Lawn Care can also take care of your landscaping, lawn care, mulching, and more. Tim's Lawn Care, 413-281-4222 and online at timslawncarelandscaping.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right. Welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. I'm Sean Sayre here with you on a snowy Thursday morning, Thursday, April 4th. No, it's this is more like April Fool's out there today, but it's April 4th. And yes, winter still has its grip on us, at least for one more day. I did hear that the city of Pittsfield did not declare a snow emergency for this. The roads on the way in when I was coming in this morning were, I think, pretty passable considering what we've got. We had a good amount of ice last night, so they've got that turned into basically some slush. And some of the roads are pretty clear, but, you know, still take it easy out there. Don't forget that it's Berkshires and it's snow. We know how to drive in this stuff if we remember well, so let's keep that in mind. Just a quick update from the city of Pittsfield, from City Hall. The storm has brought a couple of inches of icy sleet and some wet snow, and they're expecting 1 to 2 more inches for the rest of the morning. Highway crews and contractors are continuing to work to clear and treat the roads, and they ask for your patience as they work their way through the neighborhood roads. Those are the ones that usually get done last and, you know, don't want to slip and slide off your own road. There are a few power outages impacting about 10 to 20 households as Eversource works to restore the service. And an important note that trash and recycling collection is canceled for today. The Thursday and Friday routes are on a one-day delay. So if you would normally get your trash picked up today, it's going to happen tomorrow. Friday would happen on Saturday morning or afternoon. I don't know. So a couple of changes there. And, of course, no school today in the Pittsfield Public Schools. So, we got some snow. And, of course, we talked about the internet outage yesterday. I hope you guys enjoyed your few moments of respite from your smartphones and your cable TV and your internet streaming, because there was none of that for a good amount of time yesterday, from about 2 or 3 in the afternoon all the way till 10. And, gee, you know, some businesses were going on a cash-only basis because they had no internet for their point of sales and their card readers and things like that at stores. It was kind of crazy, right? We don't realize how reliant we are on that stuff until it's gone. But, yeah, we're back now, and hopefully everyone's safe out there and all of your trees are still standing this morning. All right, first, we actually are going to get back to our conversation with Iris Long from UCP of Western Mass, showing us some cool devices that are available for assistive technology for some of our other abled population out there, and some really fantastic stuff we're going to get into. First, let's go back to the weather forecast from the National Weather Service one more time here and find out what's in store for us. If you haven't got a window, you'll be able to listen to this. Here we go.
Weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. High wind warning in effect until 10 a.m. EDT this morning. Winter storm warning in effect until 6 a.m. EDT Friday. Today, snow. Total snow accumulation of 6 to 10 inches. Windy. Near steady temperature in the lower 30s. East wind 25 to 30 miles per hour with gusts up to 55 miles per hour, becoming northeast 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 35 miles per hour this afternoon. Chance of snow near 100%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
I love it when they say chance of snow 100%, and I look out my window, and it is snowing, so I believe that is truth in advertising right there, and we're definitely getting 100% snow. Welcome back to the program, Morning Drive, here on 89.7 WTBR-FM. And Iris Long, welcome back to the show, and thanks for being here this morning.
Of course.
And thanks for braving the roads and coming here. It's a fun show to talk about. In the first half of the show, we were talking about the Eclipse and the light sound device, which is fantastic, and the event that's going to happen for the Eclipse. And we actually heard a demonstration of that earlier. What a wonderful thing. Let's talk about some other really cool devices and things that are available in the assistive technology area. And looking at a shot here of you on Access Pittsfield and watching it later on PCTV Select, if anyone's watching it, I'm sure they are, you seem to be holding an animal.
An animal, yes.
Tell us about this.
So this is one of the most popular things is we have oops she does have a mute button. I'll keep
there
it on
go.
Mute but these are our comfort animal robot companions. So I have a cat. We also have a dog too, and they come in different colors and breeds, but What I really
do
like.
Do I hear a purring
yes.
on the microphone?
What I like about the cat is it has, it purrs. So they have an AI inside of them that they call Smart Bark. The more you interact with them, the more they will interact back with you. So the more I pet her, the more she will purr, and she actually vibrates a little. So that's why it's really good for sensory needs.
Okay.
And also, these are also really popular for people who are in homes that can't have animals, mm-hmm. or if they have some kind of memory disability like dementia and they can't take care of an animal, these kind of can replace that type of companionship. So she closes her eyes, she opens them, she's about to roll over and ask for a belly rub here. So she's really interactive, and they can kind of really feel like real pets sometimes.
Wow.
So those are really popular.
That's amazing. It really is. And how long has something like this been around for people? Is this fairly new?
I would say it's, I think that the technology is recently new, probably within the last 5-10 years.
The concept probably not as new.
Probably not as
new. But the technology of making it seem much more realistic.
Yes.
And you know, reacting to what you're doing with it, that's got to be new, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The AI in it is definitely new and improved because they've come up with a new one too for both the animals. So
now I can successfully say that my cat needs a firmware update.
Yes.
Sorry. Everything needs a firmware update. So that's fantastic. And I could definitely see that. So I hope that people are seeing this and hearing this morning and maybe not realizing that things like this are available. Mm-hmm. And let's just throw it out there one more time. If people are interested or want to know more about this or any of the technology that we're talking about today, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, so if you look on our website, ucpwma.org, and go to assistive technology, you'll find all my contact information. And we also have a online inventory that has all of the technology, and that's called massmatch.at for all, the number 4all, .com. So that's where our online inventory is, where we have a bunch of different technologies, and they're all categorized for people.
So you don't have all this stuff necessarily hanging around the office. You have to basically pull it in if someone needs it and uses it, whatever. You have a quick way of doing that.
Yeah, we actually have quite a bit in our office. So it is all
maybe
there.
Maybe I'm wrong there. Yeah.
Yeah, it is all there. It's just when you request it, I have to go find it and dig it out. But yeah, a lot of the technology, again, it's a shared website, so some of it is in Boston and Worcester. So people just have to be aware that they're looking at the Pittsfield one if they're interested in getting a device from us.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll put Kitty down here for a minute. Does Kitty have a name?
That one doesn't.
Okay.
There's a yellow one I named Sunshine.
Oh,
so.
There you go. Maybe we'll have a contest here on WTBR to name that cat.
Yes.
Yeah. Show us what else you have there.
Yeah, so I was going to kind of go in with our low vision with the light sound.
Yeah.
I have some tools for low vision. So a really popular one, this was actually low vision and hearing. So what this is it's very big buttons. This is a telephone, landline telephone with big buttons, a flashing alarm. So when it starts ringing, it will start flashing.
And just describe that for our radio folks, if you could, too, because I'm showing it on Access Pittsfield and PCTV Select, but it's a sort of a large size square white phone with very large buttons and large numbers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Large numbers with black text, so it's very high contrast. We have.
Does it have raised like relief numbers or anything like that? Can you feel the things on the phone?
It doesn't have
or no braille or anything.
No
right?
braille on it, but that we have added bump dots. So this one is especially used for people who have low vision and hearing loss.
Okay.
Because this one has not only the flash features, but the ability to increase the volume both through the headset, the ringer, and the speaker. So that's been really useful so people can really amplify incoming calls or amplify their outgoing calls too.
And that's really important too. People don't realize how, you know, disconnected you can get from the world and from society when, you know, you have hearing difficulty, right? That it just may just need to be a few decibels louder and suddenly you're understanding everything.
Yep.
And something like that is what's making that happen.
Yep. So we have this device is really great, and it has the high contrast. 911 is a big red button at the top. Speaker is a green button at the bottom. And you can just plug your own landline in, and it'll work right away. So those are very easy just to, like, get people who may not be comfortable with a smartphone to really give them an option for landline devices.
Smartphones are so much more ubiquitous now than landlines, and I'm wondering, are there assistive technology techniques or software apps or even hardware that would help you use a smartphone and get maybe a few more decibels of sound out of something like that, or maybe make the buttons larger? Are there things like that available?
Yes. So I know that phones have a lot of accessibility, whether you're an Apple user or an Android user. I know that there are different accessibility settings for each, but display can always be increased. There's a way to turn your flash on for incoming calls instead of a ringer. You can just use the flash. There's a lot of techniques for, like, computers to increase the sound. So I'm not sure if there's something, I haven't looked into that for cell phones, but there's a lot of different things, and there's a lot of apps that can just turn whatever conversation you're having into written text, and that might be easier for some people who can't, who don't have that hearing, so they can just read it and then respond, which is another big, so you can have that on your app, an app on your phone, but we also have captioning telephones at the office too.
That's another thing that's really grown by leaps and bounds, and I'll throw a quick little plug in for the programming on PCTV. In the last year, we've started to close caption much of the local programming that we do here, and I know that even 5 years ago, you know, it would not have been possible without how much the AI technology has come around and also made it more affordable, right? I remember back, you know, 20 years ago when we first started thinking about doing some closed captioning on our programs, it was really cost prohibitive. There was no way that we'd be able to afford it. We would have just such a high budget to do it that we wouldn't really be able to do very much programming. And now we find ourselves being able to do pretty much all the governmental meetings and the studio programs that are here, which, you know, I think benefits quite a few people to be able to see that both on TV and on the streaming. So what else do you have, Iris? I know you've got some other cool stuff over there.
Yes. So one of
brought a lot of good show and tell here for us. We like that.
Yes. So this other device that I'm showing is a very small pin-like box.
Yeah.
It's called the OrCam Read. And what this is, it has a little camera on the front here.
Okay.
And this is for people with low vision to be able to read their documents.
So again, just describing this for people on radio. This looks to me like a small remote control that you might have for your TV. It's the size of that. It's a black plastic device that she's holding in her hand here. So go ahead. Tell us how that works.
I'm turning it on here, the OrCam. So what this is using is the OCR that we were talking about earlier, the Orbital Character Recognition software. It does have to boot up here a little bit, but we'll have it read one of our flyers.
So the theory is this one little device you're holding in your hand, once you boot it up and start it up, it can actually read the text that's in front of you out to you. Well, that's good.
Okay,
I like charged batteries.
Yes, it tells you all the, if it has any problems, it'll do it through voice.
And if you could pull that other microphone over so we can hear that as well.
So I'm going
to
put this. So how I do this is there's a yellow button at the top. It's actually a tactile button.
Okay.
So people can feel the difference. And then there's plus and minus for sound and for skipping through the paper.
Okay.
So I'm going to hold it down. And what's happening right now is there are red lights surrounding my image right now.
And you're holding that about a foot above the paper, I see.
Yes. So once I hold it and I unclick, it takes a picture.
Huh. Okay.
Listen to the eclipse. Experience the solar eclipse through sound with assistive technology called the Light Sound. Tool created for the blind and low vision community to experience the eclipse by sound. We will have a limited supply of eclipse glasses for seeing folks. MA. Turning light into sound. at UCP of Western MA.
So you can use
That's great. I like the British voice, too. I think that's a really good touch.
Yes.
It's got a little bit of noir to it,
uh-huh,
I think.
Yeah, it's a little exciting. This is a really cool device. It has a really great speech recognition software, which some of the old ones, they do okay, but this one has a really great one, and that's why it's so expensive and nice. Yeah. You can skip through.
Maximum volume,
but you can skip through the document that you're reading, and if you're reading things like a newspaper or something, you can smart read, and so there's a...
So basically, if I'm sight impacted, I've got the newspaper here in front of me. I got a Berkshire Eagle, so what I would do is just hold that, put it down on the desk, hold this device above it, and push the button like you did, and then just wait for it to read everything that it saw on the paper?
Yep, and you can, so with a big piece of media like that, that's what is really useful for the plus and minus, because as it's reading, you can skip. So if it's like, I don't want to read this story, I'll just skip a bunch. You can do that. Or you can use the smart reading feature, which you can program and you can tell it to only read the headlines. Oh. And then you can read the headlines of all of the newspaper, and then you can figure out which one you actually want to read.
Yeah.
And it just helps narrow down, especially big text, that you can just skip around, and it's really easy to retake a picture if you want to just focus on one column or something.
And I would imagine, just like any technology, you probably sort of work on it, right? You try it. It doesn't work quite exactly the way you expect. You make some adjustments. You try a couple different things. Eventually, you get into the habit. And if it's something that you're using on a regular basis, it's just going to be, you know, second nature to you after a while.
And that's what we see with our assistive technology. And that's why we like doing our loaning program, is giving the people the ability to use this technology in their homes, in their at their doctor's appointments, in their when they're out going to stores, so you can kind of see how this would really interact in a setting that's not just controlled with having a pretty good lighting and ability to know where the words are. So.
Right, because life isn't perfect that way, right? It's got to have a little flexibility. It's got to work with you, and you'll figure it out. We're speaking with Iris Long. She is the director of ATRC. That's the Assistive Technology Regional Center. See, I got it. And technical support at UCP of Western Mass here on Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM. And do you have any other cool stuff over there for us, Iris, or did we go through it?
I think we went through most of it.
Okay, well, let's talk about the open house then, because certainly having all of this on our...
I'm trying to turn this off.
That's all right. Having you on our radio show and having this get out there a little bit to people to understand all the stuff that's there, that's not the only thing you're doing. You're doing an open house, and it's coming up just about a month from now. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so if people are interested in knowing more about what we do and don't want to come to an eclipse party at the end of the day.
Which you should do.
Yeah, which is going to be really exciting and fun. But we are having an open house that we are doing on May 9th.
Okay.
And so
I will hold up the flyer for people who are watching on TV so you can see that is happening.
Yep.
On Thursday, May 9th, 9 to 11 a.m. and 4 to 7 p.m. And that is where?
Yes, this is at our office. It is in the Clock Tower Business Center, so 75 South Church Street in Pittsfield. And we're Suite 201, right between the Eagle office and the elevators.
Okay, so easy to find.
Easy to find.
If anyone's been to the Clock Tower building, you know, you have plenty of parking there for sure. And you walk right up that that sidewalk and walk into the main door. And is that floor two there, or do you have to go up one floor? I don't remember.
Yeah, that's actually floor two.
That's floor two. So you're right there.
Yep.
Yeah. And so what are people going to be able to do when they come to your open house, either during the day or in the evening?
Yeah, so our open house, we're going to have people set up to do demonstrations for different devices. So some of the devices we showed off today, like the OrCam, we're going to show people how that's beneficial, how you can use it. And we have a bunch of other technologies to show people. So we'll just have people floating around, and we'll also be answering questions. So if people need any other assistance, or they're interested in how to get funding for AT or how to get their own AT into their own hands, we can kind of lead them into the right direction.
I would think that's probably one of the hot topics, right? Is that certainly all the technology is wonderful and you want to get that into the hands of the most number of people that could use it. The funding is another issue, and but there's sounds like there's some help navigating that. And so definitely check that out. That's Thursday, May 9th, 9 to 11 a.m. and 4 to 7 p.m. at the Clock Tower Business Center. That's on 75 South Church Street. So Iris, let's talk about, let's see, what else do we have? WRRS. Now, and I don't know how connected you are with that. Certainly there's some folks here that do a lot with the radio station, and our friend Lizzie Filkins, who couldn't be here with us today, is very involved with that as well. Tell us about WRRS, what it is, and where to find it on the dial, and who can, I think it's 104.3, sorry, is that correct?
Yes.
FM. But tell us what it is.
So it is the Berkshire Talking Chronicle, and what we do is we have a bunch of volunteers come in and read the newspaper or other pieces of media that people request, books, things like that. So we are on 104.3,
I believe that's right. Yeah.
Yes. So we have that running on
Monday through Saturday.
Okay. Yep.
So this is a volunteer-driven effort, right? This is a local low-power radio station that can be received pretty much all around Pittsfield and surrounding areas. Very good for people who cannot see to read a paper or something like that. You've got volunteers that come in. So tell us how that works and how people can get involved if they'd like to.
They'll probably reach out to Liz Irwin, who is really running our Berkshire Talking Chronicle right now. And she will be able to take volunteers, tell you a little bit more about what it takes to volunteer, what type of things that we read and what's requested.
So it's a volunteer effort, and you don't necessarily have to spend a huge amount of time, I would imagine, coming in, but you're doing a great public service. You're coming in and reading a newspaper or a magazine or something like that. It's live on the radio, right? So as you're reading it, people are tuning in and listening to it, sort of what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, yeah. So we have like two or three people come in throughout the day to read different materials. So you don't have to be there all day. You just have to volunteer for an hour or two just to read a piece of material for the radio. And it's really appreciated because a lot of people do use that radio for like getting their Berkshire Eagle news and stuff.
Yeah. Yep. It's been an institution. It's been around for quite a while, and it's still serving the folks here in Berkshire County and Pittsfield especially. Well, we're speaking with Iris Long. She's the director of ATRC, the Assistive Technology Regional Center at United Cerebral Palsy of Western Mass, UCP of Western Mass. And so we're coming to the end of the show already. I can't believe it. Is there anything else you'd like to get in there before we're done? Did we miss anything? Let's remind people again about the eclipse event before we go.
Yes. So as we're leaving, I just keep us in mind on this eclipse coming up on Monday. We're going to have a really fun event. We'll have the light sound able to demo. We're going to show off some of our ATRC and other other devices that we have. Oh, yeah. So we're also going to be playing with different ways to interact with sound. So we have the light sound, which is going to be light, and we also have a theremin, which can turn... if you've heard of the musical instrument, a theremin, you can just use movements to turn it into sound. So we'll be playing with those too. We'll just have a bunch of different ways that you can interact with sound and less of vision. And of course, if anyone is interested in learning more about assistive technology, they can check us out at, on our website, ucpwma.org.
I guess I never thought that the theremin is an instrument that, you know, we think about if you ever hear Good Vibrations by the Beach Boys, it's got a theremin in it, right? Not too many popular songs have it, but certainly it's an instrument where you're moving your hands and you're changing the pitch of the sound. So again, very, very assistive in a way, isn't it, that instrument? Well, Iris, I want to thank you so much for being here today. And if people want to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
going online or calling us. So our online is ucpwma.org or our phone number 413-442-1562 to contact us.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Good luck with the Eclipse event. Sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's so fascinating to see all of the great technology they brought in to show us today.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Have a good one, everybody. Stay safe out there on the roads. It is still a little sloppy. It's still coming down if you haven't looked out your window. So keep that in mind and be safe out there, folks. We'll see you again tomorrow on Morning Drive. Take care.